presented by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Thursday, May 9th. Here is what's driving the day. It started as explosive and ended as a sad, sad little whimper. Speaker Mike Johnson survived the first proposal to oust him. It was tabled on a quick 359 to 43 vote. Seven Democrats voted present. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene muddied her timeline over the last day or so, but ended up doing it anyway and clearly lost big. Only 10 conservatives voted alongside Greene to keep her speaker firing push alive. The biggest question moving forward is how much of a victory it actually is for Johnson, because he got a big boost from the vast majority of Democrats who voted to keep him in place. Our colleague Jordan Carney writing today, a broad pulse check of Johnson's right flank turned up two main findings. Quite a few aren't committed to supporting him come January, and in a larger potential headache, some of them anticipate he'll have a challenger. Also later today, adult film star Stormy Daniels will take the stand once again in Donald Trump's criminal case in New York City. This will be her second day testifying against the former president. We have a really interesting, what is essentially a reporter's roundtable with some of our colleagues who've been in the room at Trump's criminal trial, talking about how they feel that things are going, and more importantly, trying to answer the question, did Stormy Daniels' testimony help or hurt the case against Trump? And lastly, in an exclusive interview with CNN's Aaron Burnett, President Joe Biden said Wednesday he would halt shipments of bombs and other munitions to Israel if it launched a major military invasion into the southern Gaza city of Rafah. And joining me now to talk about what Biden said in that interview and, more importantly, its implications is our Pentagon reporter, Lara Seligman. Lara, good morning. Big week, I guess, now on your beat.
Yeah, absolutely. And it started when we reported that the Biden administration had paused some shipments of certain types of bombs to Israel. This then escalated over the course of the day into finally the administration officials confirmed that they had decided last week to pause these shipments. And the reason was because of the discussion around Rafah and the concern that Israel was going to go into Rafah in a big way without providing any safe havens for the civilians.
Let me read real quickly what Biden said to Aaron Burnett on CNN. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities. First of all, what are these weapons? Because it sounds like, you know, he's not talking about every single weapon that Israel would need in its fight against Hamas. But he is talking about something, some things specifically about how Israel has used certain weapons to go into Rafah.
Right. So the weapons that Biden's talking about are what they call dumb bombs. So these are not precise, unguided munitions. The specific weapons that have been paused, the shipment contains 1,800 2,000-pound bombs and 1,700 500-pound bombs, which obviously are huge weapons that cause mass destruction. And the concern is that in a densely populated urban area like Rafah, this would cause immense human casualties. So those are the weapons. Now, these weapons usually are paired with guidance kits, which can make them into precision weapons. And that is often how Israel uses them. But these are the weapons that Biden is talking about. So he wants Israel to be more targeted in its operation and to avoid the collateral damage and the human casualties that they had incurred in the north of Gaza.
Yeah. I mean, this is a clear policy change, a shift. You know, the administration is going to grapple with that word when reporters start asking them questions in the press briefing, whether it's a shift or a change or a renewing of something. They will do that over and over again. But this is different than what they've been saying, right? From the beginning, they've been saying we will never not give them everything they need to fight Hamas. President Biden, in an interview with MSNBC a couple of months ago, said Rafa is my red line. It sounds like he's making good on that, that he is starting to do things that are different. We're recording this on Zoom, guys, and Lara's head is going back and forth because she disagrees with me, so we won't get into that. But the, yeah, no, so I guess, it, so tell me what you thought, what you were disagreeing with there.
So we have already seen Israel go into Rafa in quotes, and I say that in quotes because it's a very fine line. They've been bombing Rafa for weeks already. They have not gone in a huge ground invasion the way that they did in northern Gaza in the beginning of the war. And I think the Biden administration, what they're worried about is a massive ground invasion that would have huge collateral damage. But they have gone in a more limited way. They've been striking for weeks in terms of airstrikes and in terms of ground raids. They're already there. So the president came out and said, if they go into Rafah, I'm going to stop shipments of aid. But the fact is, he's already paused shipments of aid, and Israel has already gone into Rafah. They moved 100,000 people. They evacuated them out of the way. So I think it's a little nuanced. And I think broadly what the president is saying is that if Israel goes in with a massive ground invasion, then he might stop additional weapon shipments. But the fact of the matter is the cat's already kind of out of the bag here.
When you think about the implications about the president doing this already and then and saying he might do it again, in the way that the United States has approached its relationship with Israel, which is we give you whatever you need when you need it, we don't really ask a lot of questions. How does that, I mean, this feels like a shift in that as well, not just kind of like, you know, this one moment, but like this feels like a shift for the United States foreign policy.
Yes, definitely. And for the past decades, the U.S. administration, Republican or Democrat, has given Israel billions of dollars in aid, in weapons, in foreign military financing, which means we're paying for them to then buy weapons from us. So we're essentially paying for weapons that we're giving them every year, $3 billion, I think, every year. So U.S. policy has been to staunchly support Israel and give them whatever they want. And that generally has explained the Biden administration's position up until this point. And Biden himself is a strong supporter of Israel, as we've seen. But I do think we are seeing a shift because so many things have happened. There was the World Central Kitchen strike a couple of weeks ago that killed 7 aid workers. People around the international community condemned that. And that was actually when John Kirby, I believe, threatened to think about conditioning aid to Israel if they didn't fix their ways. You've seen Israel has not opened up enough land crossings. They are screening the aid that's going over the borders to a point where it's so long delayed getting in. People are starving. The humanitarian situation is awful. And now Netanyahu is not backing down in going into Rafah. At the same time, the hostage negotiations seem to have stalled. And you saw Hamas say that it had accepted a deal. Then Israel said that wasn't the right deal. Israel brought some of its negotiators home from Cairo. So I think this was a last resort by the Biden administration to say, hey, we're serious here. You can't keep doing whatever you want.
Yeah, we will have to see how Israel and Bibi Netanyahu respond. Lara, thank you so much. You and our whole defense team have a lot of work to do. So I will free you to do that.
Thank you.
And for your schedule today, the Senate is in and the House canceled votes and is out today. This afternoon, President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and the second gentleman will welcome the Las Vegas Aces to the White House to celebrate their record-breaking season and victory in the 2023 WNBA Finals. Later on, President Biden will leave the White House and head to San Francisco, California. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
A new study reports credit card rewards provide a lifeline for working-class Americans. Rewards like cashback empower low-income families to pay for everyday essentials. So why are DC politicians partnering with corporate megastores to end your hard-earned rewards? The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill takes billions from American families, lining corporate pockets instead. Tell DC politicians to oppose Durbin-Marshall. Learn more at electronicpaymentscoalition.com.